You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to Page to Stage,
a conversation with theater makers.
We're your hosts.
That's Brian.
That's Mary.
To put it simply, we're both theater nerds.
So let's pull back the curtain and get a glimpse at the artist's process while creating their art.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So thanks for joining us, Christy.
You're welcome.
Christy and I know each other from the Broadway Teachers Workshop. We both worked together. What year was it?
2015.
That's 4 years ago. Oh my God. So much has happened. And since then, actually, you've had quite a career, I would say.
I'd like to think that.
Yeah. Do you know how many shows you've worked on since?
Well, I average, including readings, probably 15 shows a year.
So
I don't know if I could give you an estimate.
Whoa.
It's pretty impressive. It's a lot of time balancing, right?
Yeah.
Now, are you production stage manager for each of those, or does it kind of vary depending on
it
what the
varies.
Project is?
Okay. Yeah. I'm currently the production stage manager of my show.
Something Clean, right?
Something Clean at Roundabout Theater.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that production and how you got involved.
Sure. So back in a couple years ago, I took over as the PSM on a previous show with the same director, Margot Bordelon. So because of that, I kept in contact with her, and then she needed a PSM on a workshop of this show. So she reached out to me in November, and I did that, kept in contact again, and then they needed a PSM for the full production, and here I am.
Nice. So when did you move to New York? Because you said you were from Florida originally.
I am from Florida. I moved at the very end of 2013.
Okay. And so you did all your schooling and stuff in Florida, like up to high school?
Through college.
Through college. Okay. Yes, so after high school, you decided to go to college for stage management?
No, I actually went to college for event management and lighting design.
And where did you go to school?
University of Florida. Go Gators.
So what took you away from your original plan of events management and lighting design into the stage management avenue?
When I was in college, I was doing lighting design mainly to be a lighting designer for events. One day I planned to have my own company, moved to Denver, Colorado, and everything changed. So when I was learning about lighting design, it was in the School of Theater, and then I got asked to stage manage a dance show. And after that happened, I knew that I wanted to be a stage manager instead of an event planner.
So you just jumped right in to do stage management for them.
I did. I spent a couple years in college figuring out, did I want to change my major or did I just want to move straight to New York? And made many pros and cons lists and eventually ended up here actually before I graduated college. I still had one semester where I needed to do an internship, and I was able to do that at Signature Theater.
Nice. So now that you decided you were going to be a stage manager, what was your next step after moving to New York? How did you get your footing here and start meeting people?
It started one summer when I just sublet an apartment and spent the summer here when I was still in school. So I got here, I had turned on a couple internships and freaked myself out. I was like, what am I doing here? I don't have a job. So before I even unpacked my bags, I said to myself, you know, I think I want to be on Broadway one day. So I'm going to go down there tonight. And I just hopped on the subway and decided to knock on every stage door that I saw and ask to speak to the stage managers. And for some reason, to this day, I can't figure out why, but they let me. And I shadowed 5 Broadway shows that summer and have now kept in touch with those stage managers over the years. And after that summer, I knew that's what I want to do. So I spent all my efforts in my final semester of classes applying to internships that could fall under event management but be involved with theater.
So would you say that those shadowing opportunities were kind of your first bits of training in stage management since you didn't have any formal schooling?
Pretty much. I went in and I was like, oh, this is how theater happens. And obviously it's a different ball game at that point because the show is running, but it was definitely my first taste of it.
And just, I have a question about you going and knocking on stage doors. What were their, like, how do they respond? I can't imagine that it's normal for someone to be knocking on a stage door. And just
especially
like,
on this side of things.
And asking for a right. stage manager. Usually right, they're like, saying, can I talk to this star?
Yeah,
right?
Can I talk to the actor? Yeah, for some reason, everyone was very open to the idea and I'm not afraid to talk to anyone. I make friends on the subway and people think that's weird, but I've actually made lots of friends on the subway. So my main philosophy is like the worst that can happen is someone says no. And I've been told no many times at this point and I've handled it every time. So I'm just not really afraid of hearing that, afraid of rejection. So I was like, what's the worst? Yeah.
That's so interesting that you say that you've heard no several times, considering you just told us that you probably work on 15 or so shows a year.
Yeah.
I'm so curious, how, like, what do you say is the ratio, would you say?
Oh, I would say I get about 80% no's.
So are you saying a lot of the projects still, do you pursue a lot of projects and get no's now in your career, or was that mainly just in the beginning of your career?
No, it still happens, I would say, maybe daily.
So when you go out looking for work as a stage manager, is it based on the relationships that you formed with directors and other people, other stage management professionals or company management, theaters? What do you think is, what is main, yeah, what is getting you, what's the main source of getting you work?
I've never gotten a job through Playbill.com. I'll say that.
I don't see very many postings for that, but you see them for like regional theaters.
I mean, I still look, but I've never gotten one.
Because she has so much free time.
Yeah, so much free time. I check Playbill once a day. Fun fact. I would say that every relationship is important for some reason. And just about my personal view on relationships in... I don't like to say this word too much, but networking is I approach every new person I meet as I do want to get to know you, not just I want a job out of you. If it leads to a job, great. And fortunately, I have a good relationship with them where it'll work out. But yeah, that's connections through directors, if I'm the production stage manager or theater companies, general managers. But a lot of it has been, or a lot of it started as meeting other stage managers and asking as many questions as I could come up with.
If you had to pick one person, who would you say was the person that kind of took you under their wing and kind of guided you in the early stages?
Well, it was certainly a group effort. I feel like many people took me under their wings, but the most influential was Morgan Holbrook, who we know in common.
Yes.
Yeah. But the first, I would say, were the two stage managers at Signature that were my mentors when I was there for a few months. And then Morgan had a more consistent impact on my career.
What specifically, like, I'm assuming you worked on some of his shows. Were you a PA at first, or was it just one of those conversations?
So it started with a conversation over coffee and kept in touch. I try to always keep in touch with people that I meet, and that led to the first Broadway show that I was able to work on, which was called The Audience, and Helen Mirren played the Queen of England.
As she should.
As she, I mean, she is the Queen of England. Yeah. Sorry, Elizabeth. And then he did the Broadway Teachers Workshop, which is where I met you and brought me along to that. And then I worked on a couple more Broadway shows with him after that. And by that point, I was meeting other people and other opportunities were happening. So I was figuring out where I was going at the right time.
So that first project that you worked with Morgan on for The Audience, was that a PA position?
Yes, I was a PA.
So what does a PA do for the show, for those people that don't know? Because it's a pretty general title that I feel like it's used a bunch in a lot of different industries.
And PA stands for production assistant.
Yes.
Yes, not personal assistant.
There's so much jargon that we just need to give letters out. So a production assistant does a lot of things. And the main goal of a PA is to support the stage management team leading up to opening night of a show. So that includes simple tasks like making the coffee and sharpening the pencils and making copies and doing all of that sort of stuff, but also being a part of making rehearsals run smoothly. So knowing where props go so that if the assistant stage manager needs to focus on something else for a moment, the PA can step in and do that, or helping manage the paperwork that keeps everything organized. And the main goal of stage managers in general is to make the show organized and be the left brain of bringing everything together.
And so you would be reporting as a PA to the assistant stage manager?
Most of the time when I've been a PA, I answer most closely to the ASM. But now that I'm a production stage manager, I just did a lot of interviews for potential PAs for my current show. And every person that I met with, I said, you have to know that you are a part of the stage management team. We are a full team. And even though you're not with the show the entire time, I still consider that you would be a part of my team.
What was your transition like going from being a PA to your first ASM job? And was your first ASM job, was that The Humans? Or your first Broadway credit as
my
ASM?
My first Broadway credit as an ASM.
It's There's tricky. Just so many. No.
It's that they happened at the same time, so it's tough to say which one happened first. I think Blackbird was technically first, but The Humans was maybe like a week later.
And you were a sub ASM for Blackbird, is that right?
Yes.
So can you talk about what that means for in the stage management world? Because we talked a lot before with another person, Matt, about, you know, being a vacation swing as a performer. Mm. So I'm curious if there's any relation, or, you know, what the difference would be.
Yeah, they are very parallel because you have to learn quickly and fill in for someone who has already created this role. So as a sub, well, as a PA who turns into a sub, the advantage of that is that the PA has already seen rehearsals, knows what's going on, knows the people involved, and can fill in should one of the stage managers call out for any reason.
So were you a PA on The Humans or Blackbird? That's what turned you into being the first choice for a sub?
Yes. So that is a bit of an easier transition. It also depends on the shows and the needs of the shows. But my most recent Broadway credit, I was just a sub ASM, which was American Sun. And I just came in one day. I didn't even really have any training. They just gave me the paperwork and I covered the deck that day. So that was kind of crazy. But yeah, it's a sub ASM comes in, manages the crew backstage and takes charge of the deck, which means we can be flashlighting certain things for safety and calling clears so that people are out of the way of certain set pieces and all of that sort of like maintaining the safety backstage.
What do you see the responsibilities of the assistant versus the PSM?
Well, the stage management team is in charge of all things organizational and logistical, I guess, to give it a general description. But either role has different tasks. So the PSM is in charge of kind of maintaining the order of the rehearsal room, sending out schedules and reports each night, being the liaison actually between the director and the designers and the theater company. And they maintain the director's vision after the director leaves, which is usually opening night. In addition, they also call the show. So they run the tech process and create the call of the show, which is lights and sound and scenery shifts and all of that. And then the ASM's main goal is to be in charge of backstage. So right now, as I'm PSMing, we go into tech in a week, and I'm going to be focused on calling the show and trusting that my ASM has everything backstage under control. She knows where the props are. She knows costume changes. She's handling all of that so that I don't have to think about it. So it's two separate roles creating a cohesive team.
So you find out that you get a job. So you find out, we'll use Something Clean as an example if you want. So you find out that you're the PSM for Something Clean. What is your first step after finding out, or I guess confirming?
Celebrate.
That's a great
Be
answer.
Be grateful.
So you said that you did a workshop of this back in the fall?
Yes.
Okay. So when did your relationship start with the piece? And tell us a little bit about what you did after. After you celebrated.
After I celebrated. So with that one, I came in because I knew I had a longstanding relationship with Roundabout Theater through The Humans and a few other shows that I've done with them. But then I also had taken over as the PSM for this director's show previously with Roundabout. And so when it came time for them to need a PSM, she reached out to me, and everyone agreed that it would be a good fit. So once I, a few months later, found out that I was definitely the PSM for the full production, there are kind of a lot of first tasks. I think first task, read the script.
I'm sorry, can I interrupt you for one
second?
Sure. So because I don't know how this works, but
I don't
either. You don't know, yeah. How do you get assigned the show, right? So who brings you onto the project? Mm. Do directors usually bring on their favorite stage manager that they work with all the time, or is it usually the company that brings you on?
It's a combination. So a director will definitely give their preference. I really want this PSM, and hopefully the theater will sign off on that because the theater is technically my employer. But there are a lot of opinions that can be involved, and it's just a matter of making sure that everyone is happy with that. And then the PSM then hires their team of assistants and PAs. But again, all of those have to be signed off by, for example, the one I'm on right now, like Roundabout signed off on my team that I chose.
Sorry to interrupt.
And then do some boring stuff where I make sure that I know the rule book that I'm working under, because every equity contract is different. And I have worked on many contracts. I've worked on for this year alone.
So equity contract as in, you know, there's the Broadway contract, right?
Yes.
And then there's all the, based on the size of the house, is that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. So when I get hired on a show, I'll find out what rule book I'm following, and I'll find out what the rehearsal hours are, and I'll find out all the things that I need to know to enforce equity's standards, because it's my job as a stage manager to make sure that everyone is being treated fairly and we're following specific guidelines. But if
because you're
not
the only person in the production
that's representing
equity, and you're also in this
equity includes
just in equity
actors and stage managers. That's not true. I'm technically a part of the wardrobe union too because of my child guardian experience, but we don't talk about that.
But stage managers are traditionally just in equity.
Yes.
Okay.
Or they're non-equity stage managers.
Right, right.
But yeah. Yeah, so I read the rule book, and then I assemble a team, and I start making a whole lot of paperwork and emailing people and starting to get as prepared as I can leading up to the first rehearsal.
So are you brought on to the process before or after casting happens?
It depends.
Okay.
It depends, yeah. I don't know if I could even say consistently one way or another.
For something clean. How did that work?
For something clean, the cast was chosen like 2 years ago. So, okay. And I got this 3 months ago. So they beat me. It's a good cast, too.
When do you guys run until?
We run until the end of June.
Nice.
Possible extension to July 7th.
Cool. Ooh, keeping our fingers crossed for that.
Hopefully.
Uh-huh. How do you coordinate what your next project is going to be while you're working on the one? Because it's a very time-consuming, responsible mm-hmm. job that you have.
So I try to... This is just me. I know a lot of stage managers who, fortunately, their work just shows up in their lap, and I'm so happy for them. That's, however, not my story, which is fine. But a lot of times when I start a full show, the day I start it is like when I start looking for my next or before then. I can't really say exactly how to find a job because it's so many different things, but I start the search process as soon as I can.
And have you ever worked on an open-ended run?
Well, I was a PA on Hello Dolly, which was open-ended, but I did not stay with it after opening. So technically, I think the answer is no.
Okay.
if you're working on an open-ended job that you don't know when to really start finding or looking for the next one,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, I've never had that experience of like, I know what I'm doing for the next 3 years or anything like that.
So it's not like you're on a contract like the actors may be on a six-month contract or a one-year contract. Are you guys just open-ended stage managers, and when you want to give your notice, you'd give your notice?
As far as I know, stage managers are, unless they do something wrong, they are with it till the end. But I unfortunately have heard of situations where stage managers have been fired.
Well, if there's a long-running show, too, for 10 years, maybe you don't want to work on the same show for 10 years, or you can come and go from a project.
What's interesting is this is a conversation that I've had many times recently, because I would love to work on a show for 1 to 3 years just to have some savings. But I also see when people are on the same show for a long amount of time, their happiness tends to decrease with
time.
They get
a little comfortable.
Yes. And I don't want to, you know, I'm not here to like say anything specific, but I know that I want to be happy. I want to continue to love what I do. Fortunately, we don't, like, our face doesn't have to say it all because we're not out on stage, but we do.
Your attitude.
Yeah, our attitude certainly affects the temperature of the people around us, which can bleed onto the stage. And so, I take that responsibility very seriously, and I honor that because I always hope to bring joy to whatever room I'm in. And if I get 3 years into a run and I know that I'm unhappy, I hope that I would take myself away from that. Or, you know, figure out ways to be happy and bring that in.
Mm-hmm. So you've had a lot of assistant stage management experience and PSM experience. What do you think is the biggest difference between the two? And do you have a preference?
So tough. I love both. And I do think that they are very different. I think right now, having ASM'd for about a year straight, and I've just done two PSMing back to back. What I'm finding, I do prefer PSMing. It's a slight preference because I just love both so much. But PSMing, I get to be a people person. And I am as an ASM too, because ASMs are the ones that interact a lot with the actors. But I love being the director's point person and to have trust built into that relationship and to be able to set the tone of the room based on how I am and who I am. So that's what I'm loving right now about being back in the PSM game. Yeah.
As a PSM, I'm curious. So once the show opens, and you kind of already touched on this about, you know, holding out the integrity of the show because the director steps away. Do you find that you're often doing put-ins, or because I know like the role of associate director or resident director is now coming up from the West End, because I know a few who have now assumed that role. So how does that change your
responsibilities.
Yeah, your responsibility.
Yeah, so if there's an associate director, they pretty much, or a resident director, they pretty much handle that.
Do you have to be present in the room while they're running the rehearsals?
Yeah, stage managers always need to be at rehearsals, regardless of what type of rehearsal and it is.
Would it be you as the PSM or the ASM you may send in for a brush-up rehearsal or an understudy rehearsal?
I suppose that depends on what's needed that week at the show. The one I'm currently on, we don't have understudies, and we could have rehearsals after opening, but that would be highly unlikely. But my role will be to note the show if needed, if anyone is wavering too much from what the director set by opening night. So actually, as I'm going through rehearsals, I'm taking a lot of notes of what Margot has said about specific lines or specific scenes so that I know what her mindset is about it, because it's never my job to redirect a show, and I would never intend to, and I have no desire to. But it is my job and my purpose to maintain whatever someone has made. And so if I can know her to the best of my ability, know what she's thinking and wanting, then I'm going to do my best to note the actors in that way. It's not directing, but it's maintaining.
So you just mentioned that there's no understudies in Something Clean.
No understudies.
So what does that mean if somebody...
It means you will always get to see the original cast.
All right. So, but that leads me to another responsibility of a stage manager, stepping in on stage. That's not usually a thing anymore, right?
No.
That was like an old school responsibility of a stage manager.
Although I do know someone.
Because I've heard of it in not very recent years or on Broadway or anything. But I've heard of like tours and stuff where that's happened.
Well, Morgan acted on Broadway.
I actually do remember this story now. Can you please
elaborate?
Yeah, Brian is
so good. The way that I got my debut was when I was training at Blackbird to run the deck as an ASM. So we had onstage crosses by the understudies. And if an understudy had to go on during the show for any, like if one of the actors called out, then the stage manager would bump up and do those onstage crosses. So it wasn't...
Just across the stage.
Yes. I mean, right? I hate to say this, but it wasn't much acting, you know?
Okay. I was hoping Morgan, like, delivered Shakespeare.
No, not this one. But I don't know. I can't speak to other performances.
Yeah.
But that was... That night, I, like, jumped in as ASM with hardly any training. It was a crazy day.
I think we'll have to have Morgan on, and we'll have to ask him about
God.
That. I think that's definitely our next step.
He's busy in a 3-hour play called The Ferryman.
Oh, I forgot about that.
So, does that scare you though? Would that happen if
possible,
you know,
acting?
Something? Would you go on if
something I wouldn't
clean...
because I'm calling the show.
Okay. Yes.
Does it scare me for my ASM? I don't know. I mean, I don't think under this contract that would happen. I think we would cancel the performance that night. Yeah, especially because it's two men and a woman, and my ASM is a woman. So, like, that's kind of set.
Yeah. Now, do you think that there's a difference, because you've worked on musicals and plays, do you find that there are any major differences between working on the two, and do you have a preference?
How honest am I allowed to be on this?
You could be so honest.
So honest. No
okay.
filter.
Hope this doesn't get me out of a job one day, but I prefer plays to musicals. And a lot of that has come from my experiences because...
Well, is that because plays are maybe easier than musicals?
They have different...
I mean, each show is going to be completely different. So sure. It's... A very general question, a very general answer, right?
Yeah. So
how do you define easy? That would be my question.
Technically, generally, there are more challenges technically on a musical than a play, but it totally depends on the play or musical. And then plays, because often the PSM is running understudy rehearsals, they have to be very involved with the acting of it, with the intentions and all of that, whereas a musical will come with an AD who might be doing that. So that's a challenge that a play has that a musical doesn't necessarily have, and I enjoy that part of it. I feel like I have been very gifted to work with PSMs such as Jill Cordle and Billy Barnes, who are great directors or great PSM maintaining the director's visions. And I love that, but I also just have not had the greatest time on all the musicals that I've worked on. And not because of the technical challenges, but because of other things that maybe I won't name right now.
Yeah.
Sorry. But yeah.
Well, typically, and it seems that way for a lot of your resume, the plays you've worked on are usually smaller
cast. Oh, you have my resume?
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, your work history, I should say.
Sure.
Your LinkedIn. Usually the plays that you've worked on have much smaller casts than the musicals.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
That's
like Hello Dolly's a huge cast.
Yes.
Whereas Blackbird is only a couple.
Right, right.
And Something Clean, you just said, only has three.
Yeah, but you know what's funny is that every cast, I enjoy pretty much all the casts I've worked with. I was just talking about that earlier today, that I don't know if I've ever met an actor that I didn't get along with, which is a blessing. It doesn't matter the number of people in the cast, there might still be a challenge among the actors, even if it's a cast of three. And, you know, I don't want to like talk about any stories or anything, but right now I do feel fortunate because I have a cast of three and they are great. But I've worked on casts of three where we had challenges with with one of the actors or two of the actors. So I don't know if the number really, the only hard part about that is day one when I haven't matched a name to every face and I have to learn 50 all at once.
Oh yeah, that's intimidating.
I can't even imagine Hello Dolly.
I thought, you know, every time I'm like, I'm not going to be able to do this. I can't do this. My brain doesn't work like that. And then day two, I'm like, oh, I know who everyone is. Wow. So, yeah, I think it's more scary up front than it is in reality. But
so since it was already kind of mentioned, so sure. LinkedIn, I'm gonna go to a different part of the conversation.
I don't
so,
remember what my LinkedIn says.
No, it's okay. It's not specific to LinkedIn. So
oh, thank
did you.
Did
you print it out?
I just showed her a printout of her LinkedIn profile.
What That's picture amazing. Do I? I don't see my picture.
Oh, no. I didn't need the picture. Oh,
okay.
But it's I'm sure it's beautiful.
I'm sure it is.
Everybody go check out her LinkedIn right now.
Is it her name? Is it just her name? You can search
just
by name.
Just my name.
So
she has stage manager.
So because social media is a rising piece to every part of, I would say, theater, even the scenic design. So how would you say, does social media help you as a professional?
Because a lot of this business is keeping in touch with people and relationships.
Yes.
But also marketing yourself.
For stage management, I think the only use that social media has for me in particular is when someone has not worked with me or met me and they're like, oh, I wonder if she would be good to hire. They would Facebook stalk me and be like, oh, we have 37 friends in common. Okay, I think she might be good at this, you know? And so I think it still comes down to the connection I have with the people. And outside of that, like, I don't think anyone has ever hired me based off my LinkedIn. I still have one, I guess, but it doesn't get me.
You definitely have a LinkedIn profile.
Yeah, I check it maybe once or twice a year.
I mean, LinkedIn seems to be one of those strange, can you call it social media?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes. Yeah. Are people social on it?
Yes. And I would say it's more on the producer line of networking. I know it's because I work for a producer and I know that's something that's on his radar. Uh-huh. So I think that it's at the top because that's how they're finding investors or that's how they're finding co-producers, that sort of thing.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Not so much for stage management, but yeah.
No, but I also think it's interesting because it's almost an electronic version of your resume. So you're able to easily share it if it could work that way versus having it on your Facebook.
Yeah.
Which is why I mistakenly said I had your resume. No, it was just your LinkedIn
profile. I mean, it's okay. I just want to know how much information people have about me.
Yeah, well, that's really important.
And did it say on there that I can do a Rubik's Cube? Because that's a special skill of mine.
I don't know.
I'll be sure to endorse you on that later.
Well, that's what's so fun about an actor's resume is they could put their special skills.
I used to do that, and then I was told I shouldn't do that anymore. So now I just have to tell people in person.
You know what?
That's why I get coffee with stage
If
managers.
I was looking to hire you, I would appreciate that you can do a Rubik's Cube. And
Thank
how fast
you.
Can you do a Rubik's Cube?
Consistently under a minute and a half. But
that's
I've,
impressive.
I mean, whatever.
I can't do one at all. So anything. If you finish it,
I'll
that's
teach
impressive.
You one day. Yeah. Oh, we did Rubik's Cubes at right? At the Broadway Teachers Workshop?
I don't remember.
No? Okay.
I definitely remember the lateral thinking puzzles.
We did the lateral thinking puzzles.
They just informed me before we started recording what a lateral thinking puzzle is. And I still don't know. But apparently it takes too long, and it's something we can't do on the podcast.
We can't do
it
right now, but maybe we will
it'll be
do
a
it later.
Special episode, a lateral thinking episode.
We'll have Christy back just to throw some our way.
I know all the questions to ask for them.
So, you mentioned that, or we were talking about associate directors and maintaining the director's vision and everything, mm-hmm. and that's a big responsibility of the stage management team. Would you say that you have any interest in directing, or can you see yourself?
Such a funny question.
As a director one day, eventually down your path.
Well, absolutely not. However, one thing I learned in school, which we can talk about later about schooling, is that I went to school for lighting design. And to be a lighting designer, you have to be a creator. And I learned that I hate creating. I hate it. It like drives me crazy. It's not how my brain works. It stresses me out. Like, I used to hate taking art class. That was my least favorite subject because I was so terrible at it, even though it wasn't hard. So, no, I don't want to be a director. However, I worked on Hello, Dolly, and David Hyde Pierce was in that. And one night we were celebrating someone's going away party, and I was talking to him about potentially being interested in producing one day, which is another story, another path of my life, potentially. And a few months went, you know, he was really excited. He was like, you're going to produce the show and I'm going to be in it. Okay, David Hyde Pierce, sure. And then maybe 6 months later, I get an email out of nowhere. I was home in Florida. I got an email from DHP, as we call him. And he said, hey, would you be interested in being my assistant director on a concert version of It Should Have Been You this weekend?
Oh, wow.
He said, I know that you're not interested in directing, but who really is?
Well, I am.
And so I said,
almost every director.
It's just funny because he, as the director, said that. I'm like, you must be interested, right? So I said, of course, I'll be there this weekend. I'm in Florida right now. And he's like, no, don't cut your trip short. And I was like, no, it's not a big deal for you. Sure. So I came back and did it. And what was great about that, at least in the AD role, was that I was assisting him. I was making his vision happen, which is where I thrive. So as far as...
Because that's a pretty similar role to the stage manager.
Yeah. And I could see myself being an AD easily because of what that is. Like, I've always thrived in, like, I think why I was, hopefully, I would call myself a good PA, is because my goal was to make life easier on the ASMs I was working for. And then once I became an ASM, to make life easier on the PSM. And as a PSM, make life easier on the director. So that's, I think, across the board, a skill set of whatever role the stage manager is.
And I know a few assistant directors, associate directors, who have now made careers out of associate directing, which has turned into a resident directing or whatever.
Yeah. So that's definitely a path. I mean, I'm not planning on going down that path, but sure. I'm also like, whatever happens in life.
Yeah, because you never know.
Yeah.
You didn't expect to be a stage manager leaving high school?
I did not.
As a 17-year-old?
Did you know what a stage manager was?
No. Okay. When they were like, oh, can you stage manage the show? I was like, yeah. What? What's a cue?
Were you involved in theater throughout high school?
Yes.
Okay.
So I went to a very rigorous high school. I don't know if you know what IB is.
Yeah.
Okay. So I went to school for IB and I took like tons of AP classes and I spent all my life studying. But I wanted to feel a sense of fulfillment creatively. So I would go to my school didn't have a theater program, a drama program. So I went to other high schools because I knew people from like all over. Tallahassee's also small, so it's not hard to know people everywhere. And I just started volunteering at the other theaters. So I was like, oh, this is fun. And my grandmother had always volunteered at the community theater. So it was kind of in our family, even though the rest of my family is very like, everyone works in computers. And I said, oh, I'm going to do, remember in college, I was like, I'm going to pursue a career in theater. And my parents were not okay with that.
Are they happy with
it now? They're so happy now. Yeah.
Yeah. Because you have a little...
Yeah, because they see that it's possible and sustainable.
That's great.
Not always, but it has been so far for me.
What is one piece of advice that you received when you were starting out, or even honestly in any point of your current career, that you have relayed to other people as they're starting out in the stage management world?
I think one of my favorite pieces of advice was one of my mentors at Signature Theater, who actually hired me on my first full equity contract. He said to me, "You need to remain when others leave." And he made it very practical. Like, look, if you're still around when everyone else has just quit, you're going to get the jobs because you're the only one there. And I'm like, oh, that makes a lot of sense practically. But
well, they
also
say that with actors too.
Yeah. And just the idea of perseverance, I think, has served me well. I think sometimes I wish that I just got job after job after job without trying. But I think who I am today is because of the perseverance that I have put forward every day that I've pursued this. And I think part of that comes from people like him saying that sort of thing and knowing that perseverance will pay off. Not to be too cheesy, but I do believe that.
Yeah. And have you, at this point in your career, been able to help somebody else out that's younger than you or earlier in their career than you are now? Like, started by going to stage doors and asking to shadow. Has anybody done that with you yet?
Not so much the shadowing, but actually I did get reached out to recently about a possible shadowing, but it's been more every time someone reaches out to me and says, "Can we get coffee? I want to hear about your experiences." I'm like,
"You're just going to tell them to listen to this podcast now."
Yes, I'll send them your way. But look, if they treat me to coffee, I'm down for that. No. And I think that's really cool because I do love the idea of giving back. I don't necessarily wake up and think, oh, I'm in a place in my career where I can totally give back to the younger generation, because I'm not that well established. I just have done many projects over the years, but I'm not like, I have not arrived for sure. And I think I'll probably always think that.
Would you say that for, you know, as many shows as you've done, is that normal? And I hate to use the word normal ever really, but is that standard for?
Well, I joke and say that I'm the reading queen. So all these like little projects here and there, I've become that person where people are like, oh, who can I hire for this one day reading or a 2 week reading or whatever it is. And because I've had convenient gaps in between work, it's worked out for me to like, oh, let me fill that time with that thing, or sometimes do double duty. That's happened too.
It's an amazing seed for you to be laying.
Yeah,
for the future of that project.
I've been looking at it recently as like I'm planting a lot of seeds that I do believe will grow one day. I mean, they are growing. I don't mean to say it like that, but it's nice too because I get to work and build trust with directors, even though it's only a day here and there or a couple weeks or a month maybe. And because of that, I have a great working relationship with directors as a PSM.
Is it typical for you to start a project at the reading level to then continue on, kind of like what you talked about?
It depends. I mean, I guess that happened with Something Clean. I did the workshop, but a lot of the readings I've done are still very much in development. I feel like in the next 10 years, I'll come back and we'll have this conversation again, and I'll be like, let me tell you about all the seeds that have grown. Right now, it's still seeds.
And when you're only working on a project for a day or a week, what kind of work are you putting in as opposed to, you know, like a full rehearsal process for a production?
It's mainly just printing the scripts for people.
Organization.
Yes, all yes. Those things. And like sometimes it's a lot of pressure to put out a product, put out your show, and only have a day to work on it. And so it can also be, let's keep everyone feeling uplifted about what we're doing. So that's the nuance.
We are where we are.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is what it is.
Yeah. And so it's like, okay, it's going to be fine. I know we didn't rehearse that scene, but the invited guests that are coming, they understand. They've been to readings before.
So for anyone that's possibly listening to this, who's either in college or, you know, just starting out in their career, can you talk a little bit about maybe your experience on like side jobs, or if you, you know, what you did to kind of in between these stage management gigs to kind of, you know, to get you by? the not-so-pretty site, but very realistic.
Yes. So I am only one person, and I can only speak to my experiences. But I've done a, I love pets, and I've done a lot of dog sitting and cat sitting. And I also run lines with this couple in Brooklyn. They're both actors, and they pay me an hourly rate to run lines. Yes. And I'm like, that's my, I do that all the time without being paid in general. So
I hope they have friends that want another person to do that, because give them my number.
Yeah. How did you get hooked up with that?
Another stage manager I know, who's also Japanese and a swing dancer. Those are also two traits of me. You can't see me, but I am Japanese and I swing dance.
Wow.
So she, I keep up with her a lot, and we've never worked together, but she was like, oh, do you know, would you be interested in this? I know that you're probably busy with things, but would you be interested in running lines and getting paid a little bit an hour? And I was like, yes, that's the easiest gig. And now I've done it just over 2 years with this couple. I'll go back again. I think I'm there on Sunday. And I do it when I can, and they're so lovely. So in addition to I get paid a little, I've made new friends, and I love their dogs named Sirius Black and Percy.
Oh my God.
I know.
I love that.
Although I don't get paid to watch their dogs, I just get the presence of their dogs. So that's one thing I've done, and I've also, readings for me are in their own way a side hustle. And I did, I think my first couple of years here, I worked a lot in the events world because I had come in with 4 years of experience as an event assistant. And it's the same sort of, and a lot of people here, a lot of companies here hire stage managers because they understand that.
Yeah. Yeah. I've heard of that.
Yeah.
Do you see yourself ever going back to that?
No. I mean, it's nice because it pays well. Mm-hmm. Which kind of is the dream, but one day Broadway will pay me well, hopefully. My exception to that is I love doing weddings for my friends, and I do have a lot of experience in weddings, and I helped plan my brother's wedding. And because that's arguably the most important day of someone's life, I would love to be a part of that with whatever assistance I can bring. So I do that. And then I've also been a bridesmaid and maid of honor a lot, which is basically stage managing too.
Yeah, you have those kits for the brides. Oh, so yeah. It's like a stage manager kit.
I prefer a fanny pack. I really keep fanny pack.
Whoa, that is innovative. I never thought of that.
I'm bringing it back. Yes. So when you realize that it's a trend, you're welcome.
Like, wait. Explain that. Fanny packs for the bridesmaids?
Oh, no, for myself.
Oh, okay.
No, I have one backstage.
I've traveled to Europe with a fanny pack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They make them cute now.
Yeah, they're like they're very trendy. Compact.
Yeah, yeah. But if you say, just a heads up, if you go to England and say fanny pack, it doesn't mean the same thing, and you're probably going to offend someone.
Okay, I'm not going to ask you here.
Well, I'll tell you later.
Tell me later.
Call it bum bag.
Bum bag.
Yes.
Got my bum bag.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about that.
You know, I don't usually advertise that I have a fanny pack on.
Because, oh, I always advertise.
Well, that's where I would be keeping the money, right? Why would I want to tell people that?
I don't keep my money in there.
Maybe I'm doing it wrong.
So you're mistake number one, Brian. Yeah.
But you probably have better pockets than I would have.
I don't usually wear them anymore. It was okay. A thing like on my high school
trips. I love that we have gone down this path.
We are
of your
here.
Fanny pack
We've
experience.
Arrived. Going back to stage managing.
Sure, yes.
What are some of the responsibilities of a stage manager or something that you've had to do on a production that you didn't expect a stage manager would have to do? Or something Ooh. Completely crazy?
I've got some stories. Okay. Number one, when I worked on the audience, PAs do a lot of the like outdoor tasks, like any running
we'll get
errands.
Coffee.
Yeah. So one day we had to make sure that for a bit in one of the scenes, that one of the actors had sugar cubes that were too big for the tongs. And so I had to look for this very specific size sugar cube that wasn't even really a cube. And so I did a lot of research to find where they could be found in New York and found that the Russian Tea Room had them. So I went in one morning before rehearsal because it was my task to to bring them into rehearsal. And I announced to the hostess that I needed these sugar cubes. And she was like, okay, are you here to drink tea? Like, are you going to order? And I was like, no, can I just buy these? And she was like, no, I don't think we can sell those. And I said, the Queen of England needs these sugar cubes. I will not be leaving without them.
That's amazing.
And she was like, okay, let me talk to my manager.
Probably just thought you were absolutely insane at that point.
Like I said, I'm not afraid of anything.
I'm not afraid to name drop, clearly.
No, the Queen of England. I should have said Helen Mirren. That probably would have gone further. But she was like, fine, I'll talk to my manager. So she goes back and comes out and a minute later. She's like, we can't give you the sugar cubes, but you can buy them at the grocery store right next door. That's where we buy them. I was like,
my God.
Thank you for your time. So I went over and bought them and showed up in rehearsal with them.
That's so funny.
So oh my God. Along those lines, I think we all appreciate some mishaps on stage.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
And in your case, off stage.
Uh-huh.
Do you have any that come to mind?
Well, Bette Midler comes to mind. Not mishaps, but she's certainly the queen of one-liners. No, I will share one because plenty of people know this. So I worked on Hello Dolly and I was a PA on it, and I was on book during tech and previews for anyone who needed a line. So on book means I'm following the script, and I don't know how much people know who are listening. So I was on a God mic, which reaches everyone in case someone went up on a line. So not first preview, but invited dress rehearsal, packed house, 1,500 people, mostly theater people who like knew, everyone knows one another. I'm on book. And I'm like, people are going to know their lines by this point. Unfortunately.
I've never heard during a preview someone come over the God mic and feed a line.
Yeah, well, you weren't there that night.
Right.
So during one of the scenes, Ms. Midler goes up on a line and I tried to give her the line. And then she turned it into a bit and had the entire audience wrapped around her finger. Loving what she was doing. And I was also on the headset, my PSM was yelling at me like, you need to give her the line. And I'm like, what am I supposed to do? I'm competing with 1,500 people laughing at what she's doing. So I gave it to her and eventually we got out of that scene. But as I was leaving that night, I got 9 text messages from different friends saying, you got your Broadway vocal debut, congratulations. And I was mortified. So that was unfortunate. I mean, it also became, I think a lot of people went to see Bette be Bette, and she was amazing at it. Like anytime something like that happened, which she was fine after that. But yeah, that was interesting.
Any other good ones backstage even? Because you guys are also, because I would think most people know, but if you don't know, the wing space and the backstage space of most Broadway, off-Broadway, or just general theaters is very tight.
Yeah.
So all the set pieces are usually flown. Is that correct?
Yes. I mean, I want to answer this question with, we never have mishaps. Stage managers make everything perfect. I'm going to totally twist the question. I've created many a rehearsal prop out of some gaff tape and like cardboard boxes. And one of them I made this like, my favorite rehearsal prop that I made was, you know, Hadestown, which is on Broadway now. Everyone should go see it. It's so good. I did a reading for that last summer, and we needed these lanterns that the Fates had to carry around, but we didn't have any. We weren't really supposed to be using. It was like minimal props that we were allowed on that contract, and we couldn't get like an actual props designer to like make anything. So whatever I could make out of the things I was given. So I took someone's empty Coke bottle and some gaff tape and made a handle out of a rubber band that one of the actresses, who's now a swing in it, she held up and she said it was her favorite lantern. She was like living with that thing. Yeah, I was proud of that one.
We want to ask all of our guests one last question.
How fast they can do a Rubik's Cube.
How fast they can do a Rubik's Cube. And
you let me know if anyone can.
But actually, wait, right now we actually have one for you.
Done.
No, we want to ask, what was the last great piece of theater that you saw?
Oh,
if you've had any time to go see theater.
Yeah, that's actually really true.
No, I love seeing theater. Especially if I'm in rehearsals, I like to see theater. Let's see. Well, is it too biased to say what I'm working on? I mean, I...
No, you could totally plug your show here.
Go ahead.
Something Clean. Everyone should see it.
Also, and what makes it, you know, a great piece of theater for you?
There's just excellence all around. And it deals with some really hard topics, but does so in a way that I think everyone can relate to and learn from. So I think that's great. I think I... Again, this is something I worked on. I did a reading of a show called Mandela, which unfortunately is not open to the public yet, but hopefully will be soon. Seeds planting. But it was written by these two brothers from South Africa who came over here with the blessing of the Mandela family to write this musical. And so through that process, I was able to meet Nandi Mandela, Nelson's granddaughter. She like came by rehearsals and shared amazing things about her family. And she said, I wish that everyone who is supporting the show could be here, but our family, there are like 50 of us now. So I am representing all of them tonight by saying that we support the show. Anyway, and then the show itself, it's based on obviously Nelson Mandela's life, and we know a lot of his story, but learning the backstory of things that I didn't necessarily know as an American that only has one view of, you know, South Africa and the apartheid and all that, I learned a lot about love and kindness and forgiveness. And it's a show that I think, regardless of if I continue to work on it, it will stay with me forever. So come see Mandela one day.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Hope you're a part of it when it comes to fruition.
I hope so too.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming.
Thanks for having me
on this podcast with us. It's been, I've known you for like several years, but it's great to kind of dig in, especially from a stage manager side. I feel like we don't often hear from them because they're so busy doing way more important things than, you know, but you know, it's great. So thank you.
And I'm so glad to be able to meet you.
Nice to meet you too.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Everybody go see Something Clean.
Yes. Thanks everyone for listening to this episode of Page to Stage. To keep up with us, you can find us on Instagram and Facebook at Page to Stage Podcast.
And if you're enjoying these conversations, we would really appreciate it if you could take a couple minutes to rate and review us wherever you're listening to this podcast. Until next time.
That's Brian.
That's Mary.
We'll see you later.
Bye.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org. Because only together we rise.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.